grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And especially grace and peace to you, Talia, Noah, Brianna, Chloe, Brad, Sarah, Tristan and Kaylee on this very special day, the day of your confirmation. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these young people before us today and we pray your blessing over them. We thank you for the gift of your word to us and we pray your blessing upon us as we meditate on that word this day in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin this morning with some confirmation statistics for the 2018 confirmation season. We began our course some 42 weeks ago on February 5th, 2018. We began with 7 young people, 8 if you include me, and we had 9 by the time we finished as Kaylee joined us along the way. We met for 30 sessions over those 42 weeks, 5 with families involved and 4 with mentors involved too. During that time, we consumed more chips, cake and chicken crimpies than I dare to count. What did we learn about? We learned about the 6 main parts of the Catechism, 10 commandments, 3 sections of the Creed, 7 petitions of the Lord's Prayer, and the 2 sacraments of the Lutheran Church. We searched over 100 Bible passages, and we sang 1 Books of the Bible song, although I use the term we fairly loosely because most weeks it was just me singing. We went through about 10 whiteboard markers, the students reminding me that not every point on the board has to be circled, underlined, and have an asterisk alongside it. We had 2 exchange students join us on 2 different occasions. We had 2 sessions where the students rearranged the desks, much to my annoyance, and 1 session where they all decided to hide under their desks. And I'm still not sure why that was. We had 1 very memorable session where I walked in to find the following message on the board that I think we have up there. It says, "Congratulations, Pastor Ben," with a picture of a little baby in a cot. I knew they were a special group before that day, but if I didn't, that certainly confirmed it. Thank you for that. Now, some 295 days on, we come to their confirmation day. The day on which they will stand before us and confirm and confess their baptismal faith in the triune God, the God who created them, who redeemed them, and who still cares deeply for each one of them. We might leave the whiteboard now. So what does it mean to be a confirmed member of the church? What does it mean to be an active citizen of the kingdom of God? Well, today's gospel reading, where Jesus is standing trial before Pontius Pilate, helps give us a few ideas and a few answers to those questions. In fact, it begins with several questions of its own, and that's the first point I'd like to talk to you today about, the questions of the kingdom of God. So Pilate says to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus says back to Pilate, "Is that your own idea? Or is that something others have told you about me?" And Pilate says back to Jesus, "Am I a Jew? Am I one of your people? It's your own people who have handed you over. What is it you have done?" 5 questions in 3 verses at the start of this text. What's going on? What does all this mean? Questions are the way we begin our search for the truth. And that's what's going on here in this text. We are witnessing a search for the truth. Pilate wants to know who Jesus is. Jesus wants to know who Pilate thinks he is. Pilate wants to know, "Are you a king?" Jesus wants to know, "What kind of king do you think I am?" And so it goes back and forth, question and question and question and question. Questions are the way we begin our search for the truth. And in the background, there's this other question going on in this text, which is, who is really on trial here? Who is really being examined? Is it Jesus or is it Pilate? Is it the king of the world Or is it the world of the king? Who's being put under the microscope in this text? And I'd say it's probably both. Both of those in this case. Pilate is interested in the political question. Are you a king? Are you a threat? Jesus is interested in the personal question. What kind of king do you think I am? Who do you say that I am? Questions are the way we begin our search for the truth. So our confirmation course, as these guys could tell you, has involved a lot of questions. In fact, I think at one point they started to fear the sound of their own name because they knew every time I said it, there was a question coming on the end of it. But that's how we learn, isn't it? That's how we grow, through asking questions. They asked me a few tricky ones as well along the way. And so we learned and we grew together by questioning and by searching for answers. We all have questions. All people have questions. And when we come to the faith, when we come to God, when we come to the church, when we come to the Bible, it's no different. We all have questions that we wonder about and we ask about. And those questions, guys, they don't go away as you get older. They just change. You replace some questions with new ones and the new ones with new ones. And we continue to grow. We continue to ask. And we continue to learn. No matter how old or young we are, we all have questions. Now, the important thing is what we do with those questions. Where we go to find answers. Because it's possible, guys, it's just possible that the internet is not always the best place to go. Right? Now, I know the value of Googling things, right? My generation invented it. Okay? I know how valuable it is. But I want you to think about some of the other places we've learnt to go to answer those questions. God gives us His Word. God gives us the Bible. God says, here, take it up, read it and learn it. It will answer a lot of your questions. And then we have other resources like the Catechism that we've been looking at. Answers to questions. And then God has put around you all these people. I'd get you to look at them, but I know you're nervous and don't want to turn around, all right? But they're right there behind you. Parents, godparents, family, friends, pastors, teachers, all these people God has put around you to help you on your journey of faith and your journey through life and to help you answer your questions. Why are they a good resource for you? Because they don't just care about the truth and they don't just care about God's truth, but they care about you. Right? The internet doesn't care that much about you, I'm sorry to say. But God cares about you. And these people around you care about you. And so they're a great resource to go to help you with your questions as you go through life. The people God has given you are not like Pontius Pilate, right? Whose concern is just political and whose concern is just going along with the crowd and doing what pleases people. Their concern is personal, like Jesus, because their concern is you, and they're interested in you, and they love you. So they're a good resource to go to answer or help answer your questions. My encouragement to you is to let them be part of your questions and answers, to let God be part of your questioning and your answering, and to let God be part of your decision-making as you grow up from this point. So, the questions of the kingdom. Secondly, the difference of the kingdom. Jesus says to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." Jesus is different, right? His kingdom is different. It's different to what we know. It's different to what we experience in this world. It's other than it. This is the reason Pilate doesn't get it. It's the reason we don't always get it. And we have questions about it because it is different. Jesus says it's not of this world. It's not political. It's not about power. It's not about popular opinion, what everyone thinks. It's not about wealth and money and pursuing our own happiness at the expense of everything else. It's not about any of that, Jesus says. The way things work in the kingdom of this world is not the way things work in the kingdom of God. How we think is not how he thinks. How we act is not how he acts. He is different. And he is different with a good reason. Jesus couldn't be more clear on this point, not just today, but throughout the whole New Testament, he couldn't be more clear on this point. The kingdom of God is different. It's of another world. It's countercultural, right? It's otherworldly. It sweeps us up in something different to what we would otherwise experience. This is hard, and I think it's especially hard for our young people, because being different is not what you want as a teenager and going into your teenage years, right? You want to fit in. You want to be normal. You want to be accepted. Am I right? They're not going to give me anything this morning. That's all right. You want to be accepted, right? You want to be normal and you just want to fit in. That's what it's like to be a teenager. And Jesus says, sorry, guys. You're different, right? I'm different. He's different. He thinks different. He acts different. He talks different. He expects different things. He offers different things. He's different. And those of us who follow him can expect to be different as well. We're different, right? Christians are different. Some of them are very different, right? We've been made different by our Lord, and that's okay. That's a good thing. There is a good way to be different. How are we different? We're different in terms of our worldview, right? How we see things, our perspective on life. We're different in terms of our convictions, the things we hold really dear. We're different in terms of how we get those ideas across, especially to people who don't share them. And we're different in how we treat those who disagree with us. So in what we believe and in how we believe it. Those are important differences. And they're not always easy differences to maintain, but they're important ones. Jesus prayed about his disciples, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And Jesus said to his disciples, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. In other words, it's better to be left out by the people of this world and invited in by the king of this world than the other way around. It's better to be more swept up in the things of God than swept up in the things of this world which are passing away. It's better to not conform to the pattern of this world and rather to be transformed, as it says in the New Testament, by the renewing of our minds, by a complete renewal of our beings. This is what God has in store for us. The difference of the kingdom of God is at work in Jesus Christ, and that's where we see it most perfectly and most beautifully. But it's at work as well in us by association as we seek to conform our lives to his. And what that does is it makes us more aware of the problem of sin in ourselves and in our world, and it makes us more aware and more deeply grateful for the gift of his grace to us and to the world. And so we don't conform to the pattern of this world and we don't follow its agenda, but we live under a different king and we follow his agenda instead. Towards the end of our text, Jesus says to Pilate, you say that I'm a king. For this I was born and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. It's been said that the truth is humanity's deepest legitimate quest. The truth is humanity's deepest legitimate quest. And isn't this why we ask our questions? Why we study things, explore things, examine anything? Is to find some truth, to find something we can take hold of with both hands, to find something trustworthy, to find something enduring. Isn't this what we want? It's certainly what Pilate wanted when he questioned Jesus. He was trying to get to the bottom of the truth. And it's what all of us search for to a lesser or greater extent. The truth. And Jesus said, I have come to reveal it to you. I have come to show it to you. I have come to lead you into all truth. In fact, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is something we can hold on to. Jesus says, I'm not just one truth among many. I'm not just an option. I'm the option. And I'm here for you. And I have the truth of God to reveal to you. Matthew Henry writes, if we are in love with the truth, we will hear his voice, because greater, better, surer, and sweeter truths can be found in no one else. The truth he wants us to know is that we are far worse off without him than we ever thought. And yet we are far better off with him than we could ever imagine. This is the truth that Christ wants to instill in our hearts. Confirmees, in a few moments' time, I'm going to invite you forward. And yes, make you stand up the front. And you're going to give your testimony to the truth. Right? Your witness, your statement of faith in him. Now, you may feel like you're on trial up here, but you're not. Because Jesus has already been on trial for you. He's already taken the charges on himself, worn that crown of thorns for you. He went to the cross for you. He died on the cross for you. He suffered rejection. He was outcast for you. And 3 days later, he rose again from the dead for you, to bring you into his good and gracious kingdom so that you may live with him in everlasting peace and joy and blessedness. That is his promise to you. Today you come up here and you confirm your faith in him, but every day of your life he wants to confirm his love and grace to you. So God bless you as you continue to grow up into that love and grace in your lives. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word to us, in which you reveal the truth of your Son and what he comes to instill within us. Lord, help us to come to you with our questions and to seek godly answers, to use the resources you have given us in this life to follow you, to be okay with being different as you are different and your kingdom is different than the kingdom of this world, and to instill in us the truth and a love for the truth and a thirst for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.